The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
And good morning to you. It's Oliver Callan in for Ryan until the end of the week. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of June, 2020, all day long. And we are open to receive your thoughts and comments. Text 51551 or email ryan at rte.ie. Well, I was doing a bit of a rain dance yesterday because I was sick of the stifling heat. And Olivia texts us in this morning already saying that it worked. It's lashing in Drogheda at the minute. Well, that was it. I hope you enjoyed your summer. You can put the shorts back in the attic. It's all over. And it's chilly. It's actually chilly over here in the east of the country anyway. And the skies are storm dark, although I don't think there's a huge amount of rain forecast to come. And there's a bit of relief in Dublin because it was very stuffy and sticky yesterday. And there were outbreaks of teenagers. I'm going to sound ancient, but, you know, behaving in a way that discomforted some of us who are a little bit older minded now, and you know, swathes of cycling youths who just seem to not used to cycling, you know, not the good cyclists who know what they're doing, and park loads of them. So hopefully that doesn't lead down to trouble in the future. Young scuts, I think, are allowed to say, isn't that? That's an allowable phrase, I think, on the broadcast airwaves, I think. Whereas, of course, the young fellas in the country, they'd be too busy for gallivanting. They're, you know, pulling silage trailers in tractors and so on, with no insurance or licence or anything like that. But that's just the countryside for you. Young lads, it's our military service, you see, up in the culture part of the world. But anyway, yeah, youths behaving badly, but they're all clustered in themselves. Oh, that's not the good word to use. But they're all crowded in now at home in the cold. So let's hope it doesn't end badly, because we still have the coronavirus out there. And our problems, of course, paling in comparison to the crisis that continues to rage across the US. You see the protests about George Floyd's death raging on, and the police reaction to those protests raising more and more questions about the police in the US. We saw the online footage, I don't know if you saw yesterday, about the Australian TV crew attacked live on air on Australia's biggest TV breakfast or TV news show, Channel 7, Sunrise. And it was the moment in Washington where the riot police were clearing the streets so that Donald Trump could go to the church where he, for the want of a better expression, groped the Bible. Orange Nixon, some people are calling him. And it's led to some of the extraordinary headlines in the newspapers. And I just want to read the one that's on page 7 of today's Irish Times of Suzanne Lynch's excellent analysis as ever. Trump finds religion as he moves America one step closer to dictatorship. What a headline. And then just below that, journalists in the firing line as the US engulfed by rage. And this is interesting because the US Press Freedom Tracker reports more than 100 attacks or arrests of journalists in just last weekend across the US, which is the same amount of incidents that usually take place across an entire year. And there's also reports there about rubber bullet, tear gas attacks. It was Linda Tirado, a freelance photojournalist, said she's now left permanently blind in her left eye by a rubber bullet. And that word kind of echoes down the ages for us. We know all too well, the use of rubber bullets in our own recent history in this country. And there were plenty of youngsters killed in the north by police rubber bullets. But that is in the past now. And it is an extraordinary photograph on the front page of the Mirror. And it is a riot policeman in full riot gear. And he's got his rubber bullet gun just aimed point blank at a black man who's holding his little daughter on his shoulders. Clearly no weapon or anything in sight. And it's just, that seems to be the mood over there at the moment. Now, thankfully, somebody got the smelling salts out for Joe Biden. He was cocooning or whatever he was doing for a very, very long time in Delaware. But he appeared in Philadelphia, which is a city in Pennsylvania. It's 42% black population, I believe. And in The Independent, on page 10 of the Irish Independent, the report. And I saw the speech live. It's actually quite a rousing speech, and something we hadn't seen Joe Biden, who's nicknamed Sleepy Joe by Trump, as we know. But just some of the quotes he said, this narcissism has become more important than the nation's well-being. The narcissism of Mr. Trump he's talking about. Speaking about that incident with the Bible in front of the church, if he opened it, instead of brandishing it, he could have learned something. said Joe Biden. Well, there's a long battle ahead in the US and for Joe Biden as well. And if it's all about listening to the black voices that matter over there, I was just thinking of some of the things you can do. I was reading Colts and Whitehead's two novels last year, The Underground Railroad, which is an amazing, it could be taken as an adventure story on its own, but also got a very important point. It's about a runaway slave. And the central conceit of the novel is the Underground Railroad is physically a railroad rather than what it was, kind of a metaphor for a network of people who helped those running away from the plantations in the South, in the US. And his last year, his book, The Nickel Boys, both of them won Pulitzer Prizes. Or you could watch The 13th or 13th. It's a Netflix documentary, references the 13th Amendment, the abolition of slavery. It's on Netflix. And it really kind of argues that slavery was never really went away. It was just replaced by this for-profit prison system. And it opens up with that amazing statistic that America is home to a quarter of all the people in prison in the world. And that although there are 12% of the population, African-American, 12% of the US, they make up a third of the prison population. So it's a good lesson. It's a good kind of way to kind of educate yourself about the plight of African-Americans who are scared of their own government, their own law enforcement agencies. Now, if you need light relief, and we do, Luke Ming Flanagan, MEP from Roscommon, provided the light relief for us when he went on a video call from home, screened into the chamber of the European Parliament, live from an unmade bed in deepest Roscommon in all his knickerbocker glory. Ming was in his underpants and the papers have a lot of fun with it today. The Irish Sun headline, Ming the Trouserless, have a good look at my legs. Yeah, see that? The Irish Mirror says Ming's caught short, and the Star said the MEP is CAX exempt. So we love the puns, and they love the puns in this show. Now, staying with a state, or staying with people in a state of undress, Normal People ended last night on RT. I loved every episode myself. Often excruciating, I think. But it was always intimate, intense, quite brilliant. And in the Irish Sun today, we read that Lenny Abrahamson says there will not be a second series because, of course, Sally Rooney, on which the novel, who wrote the novel on which it's based, didn't write another novel and isn't planning one, as far as we know. Lenny says, it's over, the show is over, and that's it. And Aoife Finneran writes that the director is proud that the show taught the Kardashians about shifting. So very important lessons for around the world. And they know about the Debs now and the GAA, because never mind the lesson about shifting. In the second last episode last night, we saw what true love really is. And that was when Connell switched off the Donegal, the Dublin match. I think it was Dublin-Donegal for Marianne. Although there was a Sligo Rovers sticker as well in the room. So maybe his heart might have been veering towards soccer at that stage. Who knows? But I think the show, because it had no big twist or dramatic adventure, the heart of it, no big, blow-away conclusion. It was kind of the opposite of most of the melodramatic stuff we've seen on all the streaming services. And it was kind of the smallness, the kind of quiet hum of strained youth that made it such a perfect and such a big monster hit, because it kind of echoed the intimacy of our own lives and how COVID-19 has kind of shrunk our lives in the last while. But that's over, but it's not over as far as Sally Rooney and Lenny Abrahamson and the BBC are concerned. He is going to direct Conversations with Friends. That's Sally Rooney's first novel. Got different characters, of course. It follows two college students, Francis and Bobby, in Dublin as they forge a strange and unexpected connection with a married couple, Melissa and Nick. So 12-part series for BBC by Element Pictures, the Irish production company as well. And probably next year, I'm sure, that we'll see. Now, on the front page of the Irish Daily Mirror as well, Neil Leslie writes that Ireland's lovers have been hit with a summer sex ban. So it's all Normal People related, you understand. This is to avoid catching COVID-19. Tony Houlihan is quoted as saying, the resumption of intimate close contact between people who live in different houses is not part of our guidance and advice at the moment, which is a very kind of legalistic way of putting the whole intercourse in, isn't it? It's a sort of a hosepipe ban of a different variety, in a way. But there you go. So no nookie is what he says. It's kind of following up. There was a question about the Netherlands and what was going on over there in terms of the sex ban. Now, those getting involved in the Black Lives Matter protests are celebrities included. And what can it be? What can a good old protest be without a good backlash against the celebrity backlash, if you know what I mean? Emma Watson Hermione from Harry Potter for a lot of people, or the star of Little Women for more recent converts. The New York Post tells us that Emma Watson was called out for Blackout Tuesday Instagram posts. This was a social media initiative aimed at muting self-promotion and commercial content in favour of amplifying black voices, and involved them putting a black square on their Instagram account. But lots of people pointed out that Emma Watson had posted black squares that were edited to match the aesthetic of her Instagram account. Others noted that she hadn't said a word about the death of George Floyd until Blackout Tuesday became a big thing on Instagram, and they're lashing her there. Now, the teeny boppers, who are fans of Glee, have attacked the star Lea Michele for her tweet. She obviously was sharing about the Black Lives Matter situation on Twitter. And her various former co-stars in the teeny bopper hit, according to the Huffington Post, were very quick to respond to her tweet, saying that they made her time on the show a living hell with traumatic microaggressions. Debbie Snell, a black actor who had a small role in season 5 of the series, tweeted on Monday, "F you, Lea. You wouldn't sit at me at the table with the other cast members because I didn't belong there." So alleged bullying there, we have to say. And HelloFresh has dropped their business ties with Lea Michele of Glee because of her Instagram content. You just know when a grocery delivery company gets angry with you, when something called HelloFresh is mad with you, you've got to correct your ways. And of course, the irony about doing it all on Instagram means that it's all very good for Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg is under huge pressure. And the LA Times reports again that the staff, there was a kind of a Q&A session virally, or online Q&A session, and they took questions of very angry employees, publicly voicing dismay about the Trump posts, which were flagged by Twitter but not by Facebook. Zuckerberg says, "We can't be arbiters of truth," and so on. He said it didn't break Facebook's rules and he's not going to do anything about it. Of course, Facebook's share price has done mega business since Trump came to power. And they've taken no action. And also, I noticed the civil rights groups in the US also criticising Zuckerberg, including the NAACP. So he's under a lot of pressure. But Jedward, very important, stop all the press. Jedward shows solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement as they join the LA protest while isolating in the US with Tara Reid. According to the Daily Mail Online, the Irish pop star twins, who are now 28, the kind of Peter Pan, they just don't grow up at all, do they? They shot to fame on the 6th series of X Factor in 2009. They were seen yesterday wearing white face masks as they chanted out Black Lives Matter in unison with the crowds. One clip, the singer could be seen on top of a car. They just say the singer. They can't tell who's John. Who's John? Who's Edward? Am I John Edward? Yeah, Black Lives Matter. You guys, okay, it's cool. Yeah, let's look after all the amazing, you know, Martin Luther Burger King. Yeah, okay, it's amazing. High five me. And one of the stars was holding the same sign while kneeling in front of soldiers. So 25 million people took part in that social media campaign online. Now, let's go to some music. Something fitting, I think, that will fit the mood that the world is in at the moment. Nina Simone. Nina Simone and the voice of 1967, that was. And I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. And if that doesn't stir your heart and soul, I don't know what will. And by the way, another Netflix recommendation is What Happened, Miss Simone, an amazing documentary about the life, the troubled life of Nina Simone and her relationship with the US civil rights. Now, your texts are still flowing in. 51551. John Sweeney says the ideal time for the whale job in the Dead Zoo would be during the second wave. Well, we hope there isn't going to be one, John. So, you know, park your pessimism for the moment. Jerry in Galway texts and says, "Ming, Ireland's commando in Europe." That's a headline the tabloids have missed this morning. Glenn in Wicklow is texting his dismay, I suppose, about the state of the US Democrats. Telling people to shoot unarmed people in the leg instead of the heart is pretty symbolic of how ineffective Democratic opposition has been in recent years, he says. That's a reference to what Joe Biden was saying yesterday. He says, hard to believe, this is Glenn again in Wicklow, he says, hard to believe they've found a worse candidate than Hillary and pushed Bernie Sanders off the pitch by whatever means necessary. Remember, Obama picked Biden to appease conservative Democrats. He has no answers for the US. Well, who does right now? We'll take a wee break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
And welcome back. It's just coming up to 10 to 10. Is Oliver Callan in for Ryan this week? Keep your text coming in, 51551. You can also email ryan at rte.ie. Oliver, what a wonderful, inspiring item on your programme, Badly Needed for Suffering Humanity, says Joan. And that's the story of Marion Carroll there. And her book, My Miracle Cure, is out at Eason, as she says, or Eason's, as some people still call it. Now, I'm reading on her.ie, other celebrities getting involved in the Black Lives Matter causes. The Weeknd, who's that amazing artist who's really struck a chord with young people around the world in the last couple of years. It's the second album we're on now. He's donated $500,000 to the Black Lives Matter causes. And they're usually, you know, involved in legal cases and so on, representing African Americans in particular and people all around the world as well. Because The Weeknd is Canadian. He's the only child of Ethiopian immigrants who came to Canada in the 1980s. And let's take a track from his latest album. This is, you've heard it everywhere. It's fantastic. Gets you up and optimistic, which is what we need right now. Optimism. That's all we've time for today. Some people looking for the name of the book. It's My Miracle Cure by Marion Carroll. We'll talk to you again in the morning. Today with Sarah McInerney is next.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.